Morning's ADP jobs report showing the U.S. economy added 230,000 private payroll jobs last month when analysts were expecting 179,000. The government's job report's out tomorrow. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s, but which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. And the weather today, we've got mostly sunny, high of 77. And tonight, mostly clear and patchy fog, low of 56. High again tomorrow of 80, but some patchy fog and slight chance of thunderstorms. More thunderstorms on Thursday night. Friday, we're going to have sun again. Saturday, partly sunny. High of around 70 for both those days. And looks like mostly sunny on Sunday as well. So looking like a good weekend so far.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. It's a show about volunteers and nonprofits and donations and foundations and people doing good work and feeling good doing that good work in the volunteer community. And we are on Facebook Live today. If you want to check us out, it's at Happy Hunterdon or look up Happy to Help on Facebook. And I'm so pleased to welcome today Miss Glenna Gray. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Glenna, we're happy to have you here today. And Glenna is a volunteer extraordinaire, and she works with the Edna Mann Correctional Facility for Women in Hunterdon County.
In Clinton, yep.
Yep. And tell us a little bit about how she runs a program called Warm Start with the facility. And I would tell us about how this whole thing came about and how you got the idea and how it started.
Sure. So Warm Start, just to begin, is a program that provides winter clothing, an entire winter outfit, coat, hat, gloves, and scarf, to women who are released from Edna Mann. And we've recently sort of expanded that to include purse and toiletries, train maps, water bottles, things like that. So because they're released, they are released, of course, with some kind of non-prison outfit, but long story short, what was happening is they were being released without any winter wear in January, February. And basically I saw them being dropped off where they're the ones who take the train to go home, which is usually a somewhat long journey, Newark or Camden or Philadelphia, typically,
right,
where they're from. The train station in Annandale is where they get dropped off, which is where I live. And they were being dropped off with no coats, and it's an open-air train station. So it's just like one of those bus stops you see. It's not an enclosed building in any way, so it's freezing.
Right.
So basically, I saw these women out there, and I decided to sort of just improvise in the moment. I saw someone standing out there shivering, and she had her arms kind of inside her sweatshirt to try to stay warm. I've seen women out there when there was a frostbite warning on the news that day. So I basically sort of just literally went up to my closet and pulled out what I had, a glove and hat, the first woman, a glove and hat, and I gave her a cup of hot chocolate as well.
Aww.
And I was very nervous because I wasn't sure how she would react.
Right.
And so I just kind of walked down and she burst into tears.
Aww.
And said, "Can I give you a hug?" And that sort of started the ball rolling. And then I started to intentionally watch where I live. I can see them, the train station, from my house.
Wow.
So that's how this got started. And then I would watch, and more women were being dropped off without coats, and that sort of got the ball rolling.
That's amazing. I mean, and you saw a need and you acted upon it. And it's good that you admitted that you weren't really sure what, you know, because some people are tentative, like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be grateful? Are they going to be mad? Are they, you know, what's going on?
Right.
And so you took that initiative and you were heavily rewarded, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. So how did it snowball from there? Because you've done some coat drives and you've done some different things, right?
Right. Well, first, so that went on for a little while. And then I sort of started to investigate because it was just kind of unacceptable to me that, you know, there's not even any semblance of a coat, just the basic outfit, which, by the way, most of them they have an option. They can choose to be released in either a plain sweatsuit, so it's gray sweatshirt, plain gray sweatpants, and Keds, white Keds,
okay,
which of course not winter shoes, or a white button-down shirt and baggy jeans and white sneakers.
Huh.
So either way, not appropriate for January, February without a coat,
right?
And also easily identifiable as Edna Mann inmate.
Wow.
In addition, they're released, if they have any belongings or paperwork, they're given it in a clear, like perfectly clear plastic bag.
Yeah.
So even under the best of circumstances, barring the weather, they're going to be going home kind of wearing this mark. They're a freed person.
Right.
So
right. They've served their time.
They've served their time. They've done their penance. So that's problematic in and of itself. So I started investigating and I called the prison. The prison, I should mention, has changed directors since this got started. So I'm working with a director. We're collaborating now.
Good.
But the prison director at the time told me that, nope, that's not true. We give them everything they need and they take it off and they leave it in the van because they want to go home looking, you know, pretty or something like that. And so I obviously say, I'm sorry, I find that very difficult to believe. And so I investigate a little more.
Uh-huh.
And
talk to the inmates, right?
And like, talk to them and spoke to them. And for example, I met one woman who had basically smuggled a scarf out inside her bra. So that was clearly telling me that that's not the story that's happening here. That's not really the narrative that's taking place. That director has since left. So we've made great progress since then. And I'm very happy that we're able to collaborate with them in a positive way.
That's incredible. And so it sounds like you've got new things going, mm-hmm, with the new director. And does the new director so far seem amicable and agreeable to help things move forward?
Okay. What happened was after that, I did a coat drive, several coat drives, and people were really, really receptive to the idea. I was sort of worried they wouldn't be because it's like a prison. And I was very pleasantly surprised, shocked how much people donated. So I sort of did it on my own for a while, but the issue is that if I had to leave earlier for work or if I was sick or away, I would be missing women who were being released there.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, okay, this really needs to be implemented within the prison so that they get coats right off the bat. There shouldn't be any lag time, even if it's a minute. There's no need to stand out there for a minute in the cold when we can do it from the prison. So I contacted them to set up a meeting, and I said, look, this is what I'm doing. I'd like to kind of put this within your system. You know, you have a protocol, a discharge protocol anyways. Can you make this part of that protocol? And they had me in for a meeting, and I met with their assistant director, the chaplain, and the director of social services. And they said, yep, we can find a place to store 20 sets of outfits at a time, basically, of varying sizes. And took a little while to get off the ground, but it did. And so basically now they get a form a week before they're released to request a coat from us.
Aww.
And the director changed again. I'm now working with the new director.
Okay.
That was the assistant director, rather.
Okay.
He left, and I'm working with the new director. And she has, agreed to set up a meeting so that we can sort of streamline this process, which is fantastic.
Nice. And you get the coats from drives that you hold,
mm-hmm,
right? Well, I think people want to give, and they want to give. Sometimes it's easier to give a certain item, because then
they
feel like I'm giving something that's going to be used instead of random dollars going into So
absolutely.
I think people like to give specific things, you know, and if you're shopping or if you're out or you have, or you want to clean out your closet even, you know, you can totally give, the V&A sales coming up, do you get stuff from them?
I don't, but right now my basement is sort of overflowing.
Oh, I know, right?
Because
good
people
for you.
Were so wonderfully generous, but it's an option. Yeah, there's a lot of different places, and that was kind of my take, was that this is a very affluent area. We're a very affluent state. We're a very affluent country, and there's no reason this needs to be happening,
right,
and it is fixable. So that's sort of how the idea kind of took root.
Yeah, yeah. You saw an issue, and you said, well, yeah, it's easily fixable, right?
It's,
but it takes effort on your part.
But
it takes effort on.
Important.
Yeah. But you've taken the initiative, and you've made the effort, and you've rallied your people for work and friends and connections, right? You got the word out, right? Which is easy to do today because of social media, but, you know, it resonates with people, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. Social media is a huge part, and I kind of did that too, and we can talk later about our website and Instagram and whatnot, which I'm a little bit lax about keeping up, but I do post things as sort of educational pieces to sort of just get people current with what's going on with incarceration in America, and specifically with women's incarceration in America.
Right. And what is the website so people want to go look now?
Sure. It's warmstartblog.wordpress.com.
Okay. I've heard of WordPress, right? Mm-hmm. Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, it's a free thing. So, and that's kind of nice too. I mean, it doesn't take much for anyone who's listening and wants to do something similar in a different capacity, either with this topic or others. There are so many free things available to you. Instagram and WordPress or Wix is another website thing. It's very easy. You can really get some momentum very quickly with platforms like these.
Right, and I think what people always find that they don't have a lot of is time. It takes time.
Of course.
And I'm sure you've invested a lot of time, which is good, but I also say people have time for what they make time for.
Yes.
And the rewards are voluminous, you know, once you start putting your effort and time and effort, and you probably feel pretty proud of yourself being starting this and keeping this going, right? It's got to be a good feeling. I mean, you're helping others, but also it's a sense of pride in what you're doing.
Yeah, it is a good feeling. I think what was a little unfortunate is that the people who donate, there's no, because of the nature of the people, you know, the nature of the situation, the people who donate, I can't give them sort of pictures or stories or anything
that.
You know, it's a privacy issue, of course, and so they don't always get to see that. But I can tell you from the women I've spoken to that it really is moving once you hear their stories and what they've been through. And it's never just the image of, it's never as simple as inmate or convict. There's always a backstory. There's always nuance to it. So once you hear that and you realize, of course, the coat's important to them just as a matter of, you know, a human right health issue. But beyond that, it is, and I thought from the beginning, this is an issue of dignity. I want you to get on that train with a new, or, you know,
a fresh start.
Yeah. A warm start, fresh
warm
start.
Yeah. I love
a coat that signifies that you're a human. You're not an inmate.
Yeah. Yeah. You've done your time and you're out and ready to start a new life and make some different choices. Hopefully, if
Precisely.
You're able. I mean, I know it's tough. Is there a big recidivism rate with the women or no? Or do you have
that
any?
I don't know. I don't know any specifics on that specifically, but I do know that women are the fastest growing prison population.
I read that.
Since the 1970s, they've grown over 700%.
Wow.
Yeah, they're not the most incarcerated currently at the moment, but they are the fastest growing.
And is there a reason why they're finding that? Do you know anything?
I don't know any specifics, but if we talk about the books later, we can certainly get into that, yeah.
Well, you could bring the books up now. We could go ahead. You've done the research. I want to hear it. Yeah.
Sure. So definitely two books that I highly recommend just American in general read. It doesn't have to be that you're interested in this issue specifically, but one is called The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander. And the other one is called Caught by Marie Gottschalk. And both examine incarceration in America, because even outside of this specific issue of the release without coats problem, America incarcerates more people than any other country on earth.
Exactly.
Any other country.
And
like I said, women are the fastest growing of that. According to Gottschalk, she does. They both have different paradigms they sort of look through. Alexander looks through the lens of race specifically. Right. Gottschalk takes a little bit of a different approach, but one in 100 adults are incarcerated in the United States.
That's crazy.
And it gets worse as you go down different layers of privilege. You know, for example, African-American men have a hugely high incarceration rate. I believe it's one out of every four you have a chance of being incarcerated.
Wow. And then Latino.
And Hispanic, and then women, of course. Yeah. And the treatment of women in prisons is something else we can talk about as well. And that's been on the forefront of a lot of political movements with our Senator Cory Booker and things like that.
Right.
Those two books, I think, are really crucial if you want to have an understanding, not just of prison reform, but what factors are at play in our society nowadays. I mean, these factors extend way beyond. This goes into socioeconomics. It goes into education.
Absolutely.
For example, one of the key statistics that indicates how many prison beds you'll need in the future is the literacy rate.
I know. I quote that all the time.
Of elementary school students.
Yep.
And to me, the fact that that even is a statistic we were able to correlate, aside from the content of that statistic, the fact that that even exists as a correlation is shocking.
Right. Well, yeah, and the school systems in New Jersey are very good, but then in certain places they're not
right,
so good.
Of course.
And but no, you have to learn to read in order to read to learn. But if you miss that first step, you're kind of screwed.
You're constantly behind.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And but I quote that all the time because literacy is so important for so many things. And I do want to share a statistic. You harped on this, but it says that of the U.S., the U.S. population is 4.4% of the global population. That's the U.S. piece. And we incarcerate 22% of the world's prisoners.
Yeah. Yep.
That is insane.
Exactly. It's insane. If you go to Penn State Penitentiary, they actually do a physical bar graph, a 3D bar graph.
Yeah, Eastern State.
Eastern State.
Yeah, Eastern State in Philadelphia. I've been there. Yes. I saw it.
Yes. It is moving.
Yeah,
you see us compared to, and it kind of deconstructs your idea of what America is compared to other countries, because not to be not non-patriotic or anything like that, but you see us paired against, you know, Russia or
and China,
Rwanda,
and
China, countries that maybe stereotypically people might think have higher incarceration rates don't. And of that, 5% of the world's females live in the United States, but the U.S. accounts for 30% of the world's incarcerated women.
Ugh. Yeah. It's crazy.
And of that, just to harp on that a little more, over 60% of incarcerated women have a child under the age of 18. So that's sort of another element that plays into this. And women are very often separated quite far from their children, which continues the cycle.
Cycle. We always talk about wanting to break the cycle and how do we do that.
Right.
And I do want to touch on that, too, because we had early on in the year, we had the Girl Scouts on, and they have Girl Scouts Beyond Bars or something like that, where they allow Girl Scouts to go and be with their mom and have a Girl Scout trip
with
the prison, which the Girl Scouts Hearts of New Jersey does that, and I think they do it with Edna Mann, right?
Yeah, Edna Mann is the only women's facility in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's so cool. All right, well, we have so much to talk about. We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help, and we are talking today with Glenna Gray. She started a Warm Start program at the Edna Mann Correctional Facility for Women near Clinton, all because she saw a need. She saw these women standing on the platform that had been released and had no coat and no dignity and no warmth, and she decided to take action, and it has blossomed into a whole program that is helping all kinds of women in all kinds of ways. And if you want to look at us on Facebook Live, you can look at Happy Hunterdon or Happy to Help. And then if you want to check out the more about the Warm Start program, she runs a blog called warmstartblog.wordpress.com. Welcome back, Glenna.
Thank you so much.
All right, what were we talking? We were talking about statistics, and I do want to point out that if you have not been to the Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, it's right near downtown. I took my family there last year, and it is moving. It's incredible. It's well done, and it's been there for a couple hundred years, and it used to, Al Capone was there. It's a tourist attraction, but it does talk about the incarceration rates today, and it brings home the social issue about what's going on and what we can do about it. And on a fun note, if it can be fun, they have huge Halloween stuff there,
they
like
do.
Haunted prison and all that stuff. So easternstatepenitentiary.org or .com, I don't know, they look it up. It's definitely worth seeing. But to be more sober about the statistics you were sharing about, that women are the highest growing number of
the fastest growing
number of incarcerated people. And what other things so tell us a couple stories about the women that you've talked to and their situations, or how grateful they are to have these coats and have someone just care about them.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is that they're shocked. First of all, just the layout of the train station that they get dropped off at, it faces a field. So it kind of is odd to have somebody sort of just come out with a coat.
Here you go.
So they're sort of shocked, and they it can be difficult because, for example, if there are many people there, sometimes I don't go up because I don't want to out them, so to speak.
I've sort of
trial and error. The whole thing has been trial and
good
error.
Good for you.
And sometimes I've had women who were clearly uncomfortable with me talking to them with other people there, so then I kind of backed off and didn't. So you really have to play it by ear. But some of the stories, I had one woman, I walked up to her and I gave her, a coat, and I think it was a sweatshirt at that point because it was late fall and gloves and whatnot. And she said, "This is my new start. I do believe in God. I do believe in God." And this is not a religious way, but everyone takes it their own way, of course. And that has a ripple effect, even if it's something simple. And that doesn't mean I'm not under any illusions that I'm fixing, I'm prison reforming the entire system.
Hey, it just
certainly
takes...
not. It's not a panacea in any way, but it is. I think when I saw this, I thought, this is a chunk that I can fix. It's within my hands to fix it.
No, but it's good.
Another woman that I'll never forget, and some of the women are very open, some are not. So, again, you have to play it by ear. It's a very raw time for them.
Yeah, of course.
It's their first, not only their first day out, but their first, hour out.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of them have been in there for a long time, and it's a big culture shock to come back out into society. But one woman I talked to at great length, and she had been had a history of being sexually abused. Both her parents were cocaine dealers from a very young age when she was little, and so she fell into the same role.
Yeah.
And when she was speaking, and she was so together and so organized in terms of her thought and her mental state and her plan about going forward, she wanted to be a youth counselor for youth who were living among drug situations or with drugs and families. And it was really just so impressive. And I sort of started to think, how could you not fall into that?
Oh, I know, right?
I mean, as a child,
you're in that environment.
You're seeing that, you're being taught that, you're being told that this is okay. I don't know how you wouldn't. That would be miraculous for someone to not. I mean, people do it, but So when you hear those stories, not only does it humanize the person, but it really makes you question the label of convict or felon or inmate. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. There's always a story behind, and that's not an excuse for anyone's behavior, but we do, if we are going to give people a second chance, we do have to be very serious about meaning that, that it is a second chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that there's been like 60 Minutes had a report on it. I think in Norway and Germany, they have a different way of incarceration where they really do try and rehabilitate them. It's not a cold hard sell. They're actually using programs and people and psychologists to kind of help them turn it over. Because if you've been in this environment of destruction and theft and narcotics and drugs your whole life, it's hard to kind of see what else is out there.
Right, precisely. And Edmond does do programs like that. I know they have... They have the puppies behind bars things, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
they
train guard dogs. I read that.
Yeah,
that's pretty
fantastic.
Cool. Is it in conjunction with the Seeing Eye in Morristown?
Sure.
Do you know? Okay,
it'd
be interesting to find out. Yeah.
Yeah. So they do have programming, but you know, but of course, no one program is going to tackle all these problems.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's kind of putting everything together and taking a piece of the puzzle. Absolutely.
Well, and I know they offer classes and education and training, or that's what the website said. So do women take advantage of this? Like, what about literacy? Are there, is there remedial reading classes in the, for those?
I believe there are. You know, that's, some people ask me that a lot. I actually don't have a lot of access to anything that goes on inside the prison because I'm solely on the outside.
Well,
you know, I have heard some different things, and I know there's one great group you may be familiar with called the Meta Theater Company, and they do theater productions with the goal of deconstructing, you know, race and what that means and how that plays into the criminal justice system and things like that. And they go in, and what they do is they take stories from women who either are or were incarcerated and incorporate them into their place, the real stories that you're seeing performed, basically.
That's
a good outlet for people as well.
Yeah, because you get to see it acted out and kind of relate to it or understand it or be exposed to it, I guess,
which is
good, through stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right. What other statistics do you have to share with us that might be interesting to people?
Statistics, let me see.
Or stories.
Yeah, well, I think one thing that I think is interesting is that this is in no way unique. It happens all around the country, as you can imagine. There was a story about a 14-year-old in King County, Chicago, who saw pretty much the identical thing that I saw. And he did an Eagle Scout project and did the same exact thing, coat drives. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, the fire department or something like that helped him, you know, sort of store the coats. So you can imagine this being replicated all across the country.
Yeah, you got a blueprint.
Well, yeah, no, but I mean, even not only the solution, but the problem. It shows you kind of how pervasive it is as well.
Yeah.
In New York, in 2016, de Blasio had signed signed a bill into law that actually required the city to provide winter appropriate clothing, because the same thing happened.
Yeah, and it gets pretty cold.
You know, it's freezing. They're being released with just absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a pervasive issue for sure.
Yeah, it definitely is. And are there any specific stories or chapters or takeaways from the books that you mentioned that are worth noting or that stuck out to you as being?
Yeah, and specifically in the New Jim Crow, and this is a little bit of a different issue than just plain the overarching topic of incarceration, but with the war on drugs, there was a lot about that in this book, and it was something I never would have known. There was no way that I would have known this throughout my high school education, college education. I didn't hear about this because it's very nuanced, and I think what's interesting to note is that the racism and sexism is basically written into law, so you don't notice it. You know, when we think of racism, we might think of something that's very obvious, that, you know, discrimination for a job or something.
Right.
And that does happen, of course. But this is a sort of a sneakier type, a more subtle type. And what she discusses is the mandatory minimums for crimes with crack and cocaine, which are pharmacologically identical substances.
Mm-hmm.
However, crack and cocaine are used differently, divided along race lines.
Right.
And the mandatory minimums differ. One is a easier to get, cheaper substance. That is used by predominantly African Americans.
Right.
Therefore, that mandatory minimum is higher. So that's very interesting to know. And I think it is important to kind of have these facts, figures in your back pocket, because even if you're not, I'm not in a job or a role that deals with drugs in any way, or like drug rehabilitation, so to speak, in any way, but that informs how I view other issues that are going on in my country. It makes me question a little more deeply what's going on when I see a political issue or a social issue come up. And I think that, even more so than just the prison system, I think that's why books like these are so crucial, because they give you a picture of sort of the underpinnings of your society and how deeply discrimination can go.
Right. And then I think we talked about this, but I saw the documentary 13th, which talks about the 13th Amendment all the way back to slave days and all that stuff, and how that has set the stage for what we have today.
Right. Exactly.
It's an excellent document. Mm-hmm. You've seen it probably.
No,
right?
I have not, but I read a review about it.
Yeah, you should watch it. So that's 13th is a documentary. I think I saw it on Netflix, but it's definitely worth watching. It's very interesting. And it goes back to the root of a lot of these issues. And incredible. The other thing I want to ask you about is, the books again, let's talk about the books. So the new Jim Crow laws, right? The new Jim Crow and Caught.
Yeah. Yes.
So if you could encourage people to read one if they don't have time to read both, what would is it hard to say?
Well, I started with the new Jim Crow. The title was so moving. The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration and the Age of Colorblindness. This wasn't for college, it wasn't for anything. I just saw it and I was like, wow, that's a moving title. And I picked it up and then was just like engrossed in this shocking. You can see I've got like highlights
It's a subject you hold dear.
All
so.
Over the place. But this was long before I was involved with this at all. So I think maybe that, you know, that this information was sort of fermenting in my mind kind of when I saw the women out there sort of subconsciously a little bit. I would say New Jim Crow is just a fantastic overview. It's spectacularly documented. It's written by a lawyer from Stanford. It's fantastic.
Wow. Well, and I think people don't realize that laws matter, you know, and then that's where the kind of everything starts and everything's enforced and everything's tried. And what I was trying to think of, now they're going after prosecutors. They're saying prosecutors are the evil ones, right? Because they're saying the prosecutors are the ones that make the decisions on, you know, just say you did it because then you'll get a lesser sentence.
Yeah,
like, I don't know.
Upcharging, and they'll layer things on you that you absolutely didn't commit, you know, that you can get charged with like drug violation, and they're going to upcharge you to, you know, not to murder, but something very high.
Yeah.
And the public defenders, most people who are, you know, of a more less privileged socioeconomic status are going to be using public defenders. The state provides them. Public defenders are massively overworked.
Right.
They don't have tons of time to dedicate to every single case, no matter how good they are. And they don't want their client to be imprisoned, you know, for something that might be somewhat minor, for example, marijuana. So you have to, you know, bet which way are you going to go. And very often people will plead guilty to something, an additional charge that they didn't do to avoid the other list of charges they've got.
The lesser of two evils,
they think.
Yeah, then it's horrible. But and now marijuana might be legal, might not be legal. That's a whole other ball game that we're getting into, right? Yeah. Crazy. Do you have any other stories or actually tell me about how you came up with the name Warm Start? Did it just come to you or?
It's a very simple name, but it took
a long
time to think of, strangely. I think it's sort of just self-explanatory, but I wanted the idea that it is a new start, it is a fresh start, and I wanted them to, I mean, I don't tell them about the program really, but for people who are interested, I think it's really important to focus on the idea of a new start, of a fresh start, because what we see happening, and maybe not consciously are we doing this, but as a society in general, people are freed. And it doesn't end there. It's not like they're freed and they go back to a job and pick up their life. No, their family has been fragmented. They've been separated from their family, whether because of their drug and alcohol abuse problems or because of just the fact that they were separated distance-wise from them and, of course, incarcerated. The relationships with their children are fractured.
Right.
Time has sort of moved on without them. It's not easy to get a job. They can't vote while they're on probation or parole. So when we say start, it's sort of, you have to think about what does that mean? Because this start is, it's difficult. It's an uphill battle. Housing has been a huge issue for all the women I've talked to. Housing has been a problem. There are, of course, programs, there's halfway houses, there's things like that. But it doesn't just begin. Life doesn't just begin again there from what the stories that I hear. There's a long uphill climb for them.
Right. And the job issue is a big one because you have to disclose on the form, right?
Right.
Have I ever been convicted?
That's sort of the new movement to the Ban the Box campaign.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Which has happened in some, I believe, New York. You don't have to disclose that, but
all right,
it's certainly not widespread.
Yeah, yeah, but you're right. It's a whole, that experience in prison is obviously going to change someone. You don't come out the same person you
right.
went in as, and then you've got to re-enter society, but with a different perspective and a different, all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, for example, the one woman I mentioned before who had, her parents were cocaine dealers and she had been sexually abused, I asked her where she had somewhere to go back to, and she was taking the train to Newark and going to basically kind of wing it. I mean, she was going to go to the library and try to get on Facebook, reactivate her Facebook, and basically message a slew of friends to see where she could stay.
Wow.
Because she had a son with her ex-boyfriend, but the ex-boyfriend was apparently abusive to her.
Yeah.
And so she said, well, if all else fails, I'll go back with the ex-boyfriend for
Yikes.
The night. And of course, it's the very thing you don't want her to do,
yeah.
but she didn't know where to go and all
yeah.
this stuff. So she's not the first person I've heard of who didn't have a place to go that night.
Right. And they are not able to contact people while they're still incarcerated to kind of make a plan?
I don't know. I mean, they do obviously are allowed to call. I'm not sure about the frequency or length of those calls.
Right.
But again, the very nature of their lifestyle choices and the fact that they are incarcerated very often means that many of those family connections are very strained or...
Right, and they're not the best environment to reenter and start the process all over again.
In her case,
right?
The family had been really the cause. I mean, from a young age, for example, her parents.
No, that's true. So they don't really have an exit plan. It's just kind of, here you go. Go for it.
Right.
Yeah,
they do. I know they do have social workers, obviously, that work with them. But each case is different. There are some happy cases, however. For example, last winter I brought a coat to someone, and... As there's a couple trains that come, but not all of them go to Newark, where they usually go to then switch to get the different trains. And this guy got off, and he's walking down the platform towards us, and he's holding a rose, and it turns out it was her boyfriend.
Aww.
And he had come all the way. He wasn't picking her up. He didn't have a car. He was going to ride the train back
Aww.
With her back to their
that
house,
is a nice
and he had
story.
Brought a rose for her.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, so there are happy stories mixed
Aww.
In between.
Yeah, that's definitely good. Well, when I was researching, I found a couple sites that allow you to be pen pals for inmates.
Were
you aware of that? I don't
know.
I just was kind of, I thought, well, it'd be good, because letter writing, I think, is a lost art, and
Absolutely.
Maybe you don't know the person, but it'd be kind of cool to be a pen pal for
mm-hmm.
somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the programs are like or how they're implemented, but it seems like a good idea to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. What other statistics can you share? What's one of the most shocking statistics?
Well, this isn't a statistic per se, but last summer I had the opportunity to meet with Senator Cory Booker. He was here doing a tour of different counties in New Jersey, and he is big on prison reform. He's got a bill, Senator Elizabeth Warren as well, that he introduced in 2017 called the Dignity for Incarcerated Women Act.
Oh.
And what he did like a roundtable for about an hour in Clinton, actually. And they talked to women who'd been incarcerated. I don't believe they were from End Demand, but they were other different locations around the U.S. And these women had been moved like states away from where they lived or where they committed the crime. And his bill, one of the shocking things about it, which is good but shocking that it exists, is that it ends shackling during labor. So for women have children in prison, they are shackled to the bed while they're in labor.
Mm.
And to me, I mean, that I can't think of a more dehumanizing, traumatic experience than that.
Well, but I think they can escape or something.
Right.
Like, where are they going to go?
Run down the street in labor
pain. I know. I mean, I don't... Yeah, that's bizarre. Well, do they have to go off site to give birth? That's the deal, I guess. Okay.
I imagine they do, but
I didn't know what kind of facilities they have, but okay. Oh.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yikes.
So, and the other thing that he had put forward, too, was free sanitary supplies for women.
Why, they have to pay for them while they're in prison?
They did previously, yeah. So... Huh. Again, just sort of, you don't know about this. I mean, this is not going to be in anyone's like daily dialogue unless you sort of dig deep. And that's why books like this are great. This bill is great, because then you start to see what it's addressing and why should it even have to address this.
Right.
That was another issue that I think maybe Gottschalk talks about. I forget which of the two, is that, prisoners are paid for their work. Okay. They do different tasks or whatever in prison, but it's very minimal. It's like a dollar or a day or something like that. It depends prison to prison. But very often they have to spend that on buying necessities like shampoo and conditioner or toothpaste or something like that. So that was one of the issues. They were spending it on sanitary supplies.
Huh.
Right.
Well, that would be another thing that people could do a drive for, either, you know, toothbrushes
Oh, you've done that too?
Yes,
that's what we've done. Yeah. So now that can't go through the prison. I can't give them all that. But when I see somebody, like today, for example, I gave to a woman a backpack to put her stuff in and then like a toiletry case, basically shampoo, conditioner, soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, that kind of stuff.
Well, so if people want to help, you don't have a formal 501c3 set up, but you do... Are you getting, or do you have boxes in certain places, or is it word of mouth, or how can people help?
At the moment, it's kind of word of mouth. I mean, you can certainly contact us through the website. There's a contact page on there.
On that blog?
On the blog, yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I also have an Instagram called Warm Start.
Okay.
So you can comment on there, and I will see it. I need the pictures up there. And, I've had people reach out to me from the community that they want to donate. Then a lot of it's just word of mouth as well. Right now I'm okay on donations, but I probably will do a donation drive in the winter for toiletries and such and bags and purses because they get, like I said, there's things in a clear bag.
Right.
So it's nice to have a purse as well. The other thing that's really important to note, that I've done sort of not drives, but I've had people help me make maps, train maps. Almost all of these women have not been on a train in their lives.
Really?
They have not left the city that they were born in. And they don't know how to read a train map.
Right.
If you look at the NJ Transit map, it's complicated.
Yeah, it's hard for the average person to figure it out if you don't know. Yeah, yeah.
And the issue at the Annandale train station, a couple issues. First of all, it's literally just a plastic shack. There's no bathroom. There's no clock.
The train map,
it shows only the map for that specific line, the Raritan Valley line.
It
doesn't have the connections anywhere else. They can find it when they get to Newark.
Right.
But it's complicated, so they can't see where do I have to go ahead of time. They don't know the time. They don't have a watch. They don't have a cell phone.
Right.
So I've seen a woman miss the train.
Aww.
And the next train that comes going to Newark is 3 hours later.
Oh, goodness. And then shivering in the cold for another 3 hours. Yeah,
precisely.
That's not good.
Or the heat in the summer.
Yeah, and either or. Wow. That's, it's all these things that we take for granted, right?
Right, yeah.
That
you
just
exactly.
don't realize.
So we print train maps, and those are in
nice.
The bags as well.
All right. And... Well, and then when I was reading it said that they have educational, what was else? They said they do telemarketing and data entry programs in the prison. I don't know if that's some of the work that they do. I don't know. I'm going on the website and who knows how outdated it is.
Yeah, there's different jobs and they change over the years, I know.
Okay,
But yeah, they do, I know they do like train different vocational opportunities, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd be curious to know, I don't know how forthcoming they are or how transparent they can be about what goes on inside the prison, but I would want to know, are there classes, are there, like I said, remedial reading, or can they work, or can they get some skills while they're there? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you've got nothing but time, right? Why not use that wisely and develop? But I don't know what they offer.
I'm not familiar either. I'm sure there is programming and there are classes, but I'm not super familiar with what they are.
Well, another book I just got done reading, which I thought was really good, was called Running the Books. And it was by Avi Steinberg. Mm-hmm. And it's about a guy who is a prison librarian.
Wow.
And it's in Boston. And it's in one of the – and they have both male and female inmates. And it's just about him being in that environment and learning about their personalities and the prison way and the guards versus the politics of working, you know, all this. So it was just – it was a really just – eye-opening story about, you know, it's a story about people, because people are people regardless of where you are, but I found it fascinating.
I think that's sort of the common thread with all of this, is that people are people and the needs are common to us all. And you do learn, you know, there's things I never would have thought of. For example, maybe back in the spring, I gave a coat and whatnot to some woman, and I usually don't ask their names. I don't ask any information about them. So, and she was supposed to have been picked up, and she missed her train, I think, if I remember correctly. And she was supposed to have been picked up, but her family had had a party the night before and wasn't there to pick her up. Mm-hmm. She didn't have any cell phone to call them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, would you like to use my cell phone? So she called. And she said to me, you know, you hold the phone and put it on speaker. I don't want you to think I'm going to steal my phone.
Oh.
You know, so your phone, sorry.
Right, yeah.
And I said, it didn't even cross my mind. But she was thinking, you know, let me convince you that I'm not going to do this, that I'm a good person. So that has sort of, that theme has come up quite a bit too. And they'll always ask, can I give you a hug? Are you okay if I give you a hug? They very much, there's this desire for them to want you to see them, you know, as right. a human being who is, like we talked about, done their time. And that was very moving to me. I don't think she realized in the moment how maybe educational that was for me. I was mm-hmm. never have thought of that. But her desire to express her goodness, so to speak, was, yeah moving.
Yeah. And they probably just want to tread lightly, right? You know,
of
when
course,
they're
we
out.
Both are. Yeah, we're both treading lightly. They're not sure what I'm doing there with a coat and essentially a field. I'm not sure how they're going to
react. Where did she come from? Right. The coat fairy appeared out of nowhere.
I'm not sure how they're going to react. Like I said, I was very nervous the first time. And,
I mean, but you took the initiative, which I think is incredible. And I think people want to do good and they want to help, but they're not sure how, and they're not sure what kind of reaction they're going to get. And they're just a little bit fearful. So, you know, you're an example of, you know, it might just work out, and just go with your gut and connect on a human level, and you never know where it'll take you.
Absolutely.
Well, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington, or call toll-free 1-800-819-9877.
The traffic is stuck. Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on 100 in Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. 100 in Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help. You can find us on Facebook Live at Happy Hunterdon, Happy to Help. And we're talking today with Glenna Gray, who started the program Warm Start at the Edna Mann Correctional Facility for Women near Clinton. And I just want to point out that we talk a lot about volunteerism on this show. And I always tell people, try and find something that resonates with you, an organization, the people in the organization, the cause that they're focusing on, whether it's literacy or save the whales or save the world or save the environment. And I also always like to point out people that are doing volunteer work that's not with an organized 501c3. You can just see a need and fill it. One of my favorite examples is one of an older gentleman I know. He goes to the bus stop every morning with a neighbor child because the parents have to go to work. And so he volunteers his time to hang out at the bus stop and get the little guy off to school, which I think is incredible. So there's so many ways to volunteer and help. And if you just pay attention, you can find a way that a way you're meant to help. And Glenna did that because she saw these women standing, freezing on the train platform after being released from prison. And so she took action. She didn't really know where it would go or what it would do, but she just felt compelled to help her fellow human being. And tell us more about how you just kind of have been winging it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think one thing that was going through my mind, first of all, I had been traveling right before that, and I had been traveling in a developing country where I had seen, a lot of human suffering, a lot of beauty, but a lot of human suffering as well. And I was sort of overwhelmed with those problems and what to do about them. Sometimes they're so big you can't even begin to wrap your head around it.
Right.
And that can be very frustrating to sort of synthesize and process in your brain. So when I saw this with the woman without the coat, I thought, okay, this I can do.
Yeah.
I know how to fix this. I do have the tools to fix this. And one thing that was going through my mind was something a professor said in college. I think it was my college graduation. And he said, your job now that you are out of here is to find what in the world wrenches your gut the most.
Wow.
And then fix it. What are you most appalled by? What are you most revolted by, basically, and then go fix it. So sometimes people ask me, like, what inspired you? And that is not even the word I would throw into this conversation in any way, other than the women, the triumph of the women and how they are inspiring. But I don't think in that situation there was anything inspiring about it. When you see the problem like that, you think, no, this is not, I'm not going to watch this. This is not happening under my watch, especially when not only do I have the tools to fix it, the community has the tools to fix it on a larger scale. And free. I mean, this is all just donations. So my advice to people would be, don't think that one, it doesn't have to be an overnight success. You can have ups and downs. That's the very nature. My project has been completely trial and error.
Hey,
I've had some women who didn't want to speak to me and didn't want a coat, didn't want anything. They were just wanted to be on their own. That's fine. So I've learned as I've gone along too, but you don't have to have all the answers. I certainly didn't.
Mm-hmm.
This was just kind of truly, like you said, winging it and taking advice from people as I went along and just learning as I went. If you can just tackle some piece, even a tiny, tiny, tiny piece, collectively, and we say this all the time. We all say, we learn about this in school and we say it all the time. Everybody pitches in, it takes a village type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear that, but I think it's one thing to hear it and to really believe it and to know it. Like I said before, I'm sure this is not course correcting anyone's life, but it's a piece. It's a piece. And it does indicate a message of you have a new start, you deserve dignity, you deserve warmth. That your most basic right,
right.
This is a very, very basic human right, proper clothing, warmth in winter.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't accomplish that, I thought, what are we doing if we can't do that?
Right. Well, I think you are an inspiration, but you took the advice that the keynote or commencement speaker gave. You trusted your gut and went with your heart, So, I mean, and you just took action, which is what more people need. I always say, get off the couch and do something.
It doesn't have to be known.
No.
It doesn't have to be. A lot of the best, greatest work that is done is not known, not seen.
Right. Well, I've asked a few people that are incredible volunteers and have been incredible in their community for years and years and decades, and I've asked them to be on the show, and they're like, no, I prefer just to do
I mean, I'm a little on my high horse here. Because
I forced you to come on. No, but I mean, I think some, and I get that. If you just want to do your thing and you don't want to tout it and you don't, but I want people to tell their stories because there's so many different ways you can help, and I want it to inspire or provoke people to do something. So I think it just depends.
I think for this too, the issue is such a huge current issue in American politics and this current dialogue of our country that it needs to be talked about more. Because the reality is the people who are incarcerated, I try to be very careful to not speak for them because I have no clue about their experience.
Yeah.
I have not lived
fortunately
beyond their life. I've had many different privileges that they haven't had. So I do try to differentiate my voice from theirs. But at the same time, when they're in prison, they don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So there is kind of walking that line of somebody does somewhere have to be keeping the conversation going and talking.
Yeah.
The more people talk about it, the better. I'm certainly not the only one. But I think the more people we can involve in the conversation, the better.
And the fact that you're willing to talk about something that resonates with you on some level that you want to help people. So I think that's great. And we were going to talk about one more conundrum, which is that crime is going down, but incarceration rates are going up. And why is that?
Yeah. So Gottschalk talks about this. I don't have a complete answer for you, but yes. Yeah, so crime rates, you would think, would function in complete correlation with incarceration rates, if not like perfect correlation.
You would think. I don't know.
But crime rates are going down while incarceration rates are going up. So they're functioning independently. Crime has been significantly decreasing. There's been a lot of different programs and things. And this is, again, not in every single area of the country, but taken as a whole, according to this literature here. But incarceration is going up for many, many demographics. I don't have the answer to this. One thing that I did learn about that I can think of in terms of incarceration, which we haven't touched on yet, is immigrant incarceration.
Oh, yeah.
For example, with immigration, illegal immigration is actually not a crime. It's a civil violation. But very, very often, immigrants who are found to have legally immigrated are sent to holding centers or detention centers, which really aren't detention centers. They are places like Rikers. A lot of immigrants get sent to Rikers with true offenders. I mean,
right.
Real offenders, very
yeah.
serious offenders, and are separated from their legal counsel. Sometimes legal counsel can't even find them.
Yeah, and they're not speaking the language sometimes,
they're
clueless.
About our legal system and our language and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So that is possibly another factor in the incarceration rates that we've got going on. Incarcerated doesn't mean convicted.
Okay, right.
There are many, many women, for example, one of the statistics I have somewhere here, who are incarcerated. They're waiting trial. Or not convicted
yet. But that could be months, right?
Right.
Ugh. I know, right? They're not even convicted yet, but they're... Because they can't make bail or they weren't posted bail.
Right, bail is a whole different issue we could spend a whole other time talking about, but yeah.
For the next show.
Right. So I think that's important for people to know is that it doesn't... Just because we have a high incarceration rate doesn't mean that everybody in that demographic is a criminal.
Ugh. I know. It's crazy. It's so... Well, it is overwhelming, but... Thankfully, you found one piece of goodness or a way to make someone's life a little brighter in the midst of all this heartache and headache and the legal system, which I can't even spell law, so I can't even begin to interpret it. But I think it's been very enlightening learning about all that you're doing. And again, if you want to look at what Glenn is doing, you can go to warmstartblog.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. And what's one of the current issues you might have blogged about more recently?
Well, most of the current issues are actually on our Instagram, which is Warmstart.
Oh.
You can look it up just at Warmstart.
Okay.
And so one of the most recent posts I did, I think I actually took from the Women's Prison Association, which is another organization, about just, again, statistics and women with women in prison, specifically with children. I have some things up there about women being separated from their children. That's actually one of the things that Booker's law aims to address is more call time, more visits with children for women in prison.
Right. And I did read that there was another piece of legislation called First Step or something that passed in the House, but I don't think it's passed in the Senate yet.
Yeah.
That was from a New York rep, I believe.
Okay.
I was like poking around on this stuff.
There's a lot,
I know, right? But you've enlightened us more than any web Google search could have come across or could have produced. Thank you again, Glenna.
Thank you so much. This has been lovely.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Bye.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Lawmakers from both parties are criticizing President Trump for mocking Brett Kavanaugh's accuser Christine Blasey Ford during a campaign-style rally in Mississippi last night. Senate Republican Susan Collins of Maine says,
"The president's comments were just plain wrong."
And Arizona Republican Jeff Flake says there's no time or place for remarks like these.
What neighborhood was it in? I don't know. Where's the house? I don't know. Upstairs, downstairs, where was it? I don't know. But I had one beer. That's the only thing I remember.
Allegations by the New York Times that Donald Trump built his fortune with dubious tax schemes involving sham corporations are now being investigated. The New York Department of Taxation and Finance saying they're reviewing the allegations in the Times article and will pursue all appropriate avenues of investigation. And this is USA Radio News.
This is a national health alert from the Healthcare Hotline. Are you on Medicare and/or have private insurance and suffer from back pain? MD Topical has a solution for you. Today, you can qualify to receive a pain-relieving treatment, such as a comfortable back brace or a customized pain treatment at little or no cost. Call MD Topical toll-free now, 888-998-7225. It just takes a couple of minutes to qualify for these amazing treatments that have helped thousands of people with severe pain. Your personalized pain treatment will be delivered directly to your door. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com and get started on your road to a pain-free life. Call MD Topical toll-free, 888-998-7225, or go to mdtopical.com.
To say Democrats are causing delay, give me a break.
That's the top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer slamming Republican criticism over the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. Schumer yesterday on the Senate floor rejecting criticism from Republican leader Mitch McConnell that Democrats are obstructing and needlessly delaying Kavanaugh's confirmation. He called the Majority Leader McConnell a master of delay.
Who delayed the nomination of a Supreme Court.